I call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 6:36 p.m. on Thursday, April 10th, 2025. Present today are all members, Representatives Allard, Hannon, Johnson, Bynum, Stapp, Tomaszewski, Galvin, Jimmy, and the three co-chairs, Co-Chair Foster, Co-Chair Shiragi, myself, Co-Chair Josephson. Also present today are House Finance Committee staff, Committee Assistant Helen Phillips, Paige Reed, Gardiner, Secretary Bree Wiley, Secretary Leah Frazier. Please mute your cell phones. At today's meeting, we will not be taking up, apologies to Representative Holland, House Bill 34 or House Bill 30. We plan to take those bills up in a future committee meeting. Instead, we will be taking up House Bill 53. Co-Chair Shiragi, do I have a motion to rescind action on moving House Bill 53, version 34GH1462/I, as amended out of committee?
Mr. Chair, I move that the House Finance Committee rescind action on moving House Bill 53, Finance, version 34-GH1462/I, as amended out of committee.
Object.
Would you like to speak to your objection?
Yeah, Mr. Co-Chair, about a week ago, the majority of this committee decided to move this bill to the objection of the minority. I would like a clarification as to why the majority of this committee would now like to undo that action, if you so please.
You bet. I think that will come in the second motion to adopt version Q as in quiet. So if the objection is maintained, then we will go to a vote on whether to rescind action. Will the clerk call the roll?
Representative Galvin.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Stapp.
No.
Representative Allard.
No.
Representative Bynum.
No.
Representative Tomaszewski.
No.
Representative Jimmy.
Yes.
Representative Shiragi.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Six yay, five nay.
So we've rescinded action, and I would at this time invite my staff, Mr. Schroeder. Apologies. Second, Co-Chair Shiragi, is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move that the House Finance Committee adopt committee substitute for House Bill 53 Finance, version 34-GH1462/Q, marks dated April 10th, 2025, as our working document.
Check.
Object.
All right. At this time, I'd like Mr. Schroeder to tell us the...
I'd like to speak to my objection, if that's possible.
Sure. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I just want to let everyone know for the record that this has just been received. I think it might even be warm still. I think it's called hot off the press. It looks to me from a cursory glance that there is, it looks like it's a 680 BSA with probably a 75-25 dividend. I think that's the truth of the document. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about how maybe that could happen. But what I unfortunately see is within the document, I see, I'm struggling to speak to this in a way without impugning because it looks like trickery to me. And, I haven't had a chance to look through all of this. I'm seeing some legal concerns. There's quite a few fund changes. There's a waterfall. It doesn't look to me like... this is clear, will be clear to the public, and I think it's intentionally written to fool the public. And so that is why I will object to this CS.
All right. I think you crossed the impugn line, but that's happened before in this building. I want the public to know that this is a $1,000 backstop BSA. That's what this is. At this time, I'd like Mr. Schroeder to describe the differences, which are fairly simple, frankly.
For the record, Alexander Schroeder. Before the committee is the proposed committee substitute for House Bill 53, Work Draft 34, GH1462/Q. Version Q is the bill we passed out of committee last week, including all amendments adopted in the committee, but with three modifications. And Legislative Finance Division, I could rely on them to verify that for accuracy. The first modification is on page 60, lines 21 through 24. Section 10, subsection C, 1 and 2 was modified so that the percent of market value draw is a 25-75% split. 25% or $949,722,100 is appropriated to the dividend fund, and 75% or $2,849,166,298 is appropriated to the general fund. The total equaling $3,798,888,398 from the earnings reserve account remains the same as the previous version of HB 53. This would be a permanent fund dividend of approximately $1,420 per eligible Alaskan. The second modification is on page 66, line 23 through page 67, line 2. Section 15, subsection F, was modified to change the fund source of the one-time $1,000 base student allocation increase to be split such that $680 of that increase, or about $172 million, comes from unrestricted general funds, and $320 of the increase, or about $81 million, comes from the public school trust fund. If a bill passes with a statutory BSA increase under $1,000, the public education investment funds will be expended first to pay the difference. The third modification is on page 86.
That's legal.
Lines 24 through page 87, line 1. Section 34 was modified to change the distribution of revenues exceeding $6.3 billion from a 50-50 split between an energy relief check and statutory budget reserve to the following: 40% to an energy relief bonus, 30% to a one-time base student allocation increase in FY27, and 30% to the statutory budget reserve. No other changes were made. The total effect of these changes is a $1.6 billion savings to the unrestricted general funds. This is an 85% reduction to the deficit in the governor's operating and capital budgets. And as I said before, Legislative Finance Division is in the room to confirm the accuracy of my testimony. Thank you for your time.
Representative Stapp.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Kocher. Would you mind if Director Painter came up to
chat
with us?
Sure. Director Painter.
Thank you, Co-Chair Justin, through the chair. And just for the record, it's an 80% reduction in the deficit of your own budget. But Mr. Co-Chair, if you would. Director Painter, what is the deficit in this CS?
For the record, Alexi Painter, Legislative Finance Division. So that depends on your assumptions about the capital budget. If assuming through the chair, Representative Stapp, if you assume the governor's capital budget, it would be approximately $350 million, I believe.
$350 million.
And if you assume something closer to what the Senate Finance Committee rolled out today, it'd go down by $110 million or so.
Follow up, Mr. Co-Chair.
Follow up.
So I'm trading one deficit budget for another deficit budget, albeit a little bit smaller. Director, this rating of the public school trust fund, that's an interesting maneuver. I've never seen it. I believe that draw on that fund, I think, is about 5%, supposed to offset our existing foundation formula. So do you know what level of draw this would be on the fund, through the chair?
Mr. Painter.
Through the chair, Representative Stapp, so the current balance of that fund is about $845 million. According to the Department of Revenue's website, so that would be roughly 10% of the fund value.
So, vault, Mr. Griffin.
Follow up.
So, we are going to raid the. Is this public school trust fund? That helps offset the foundation formula.
Mr. Painter.
Through the chair, Representative Stapp, yes.
And vault, Mr. Griffin.
Sure, follow up.
So, we are going to raid the public trust fund to give one-time money to schools out of the fund that funds the foundation formula. Is that what this does through the chair?
Through the chair, Representative Stapp, yes. Currently, the public school trust fund is used for the foundation formula as one of the fund sources.
Mr. Co-Chair, do we know if we are allowed to raid the trust fund, or do we have an opinion from like a state attorney?
Mr. Representative Stapp, first of all, I dispute the premise of the question. I don't think it's a raid. In fact, my understanding is it would have the effect of if we return to the POMV, we could do it with like a 4.8% draw in the next year, something like that. And I'm reminded that year over year, the fund has grown apparently $73 million. But in answer to your question, Ms. Marks did not have time to prepare a full opinion. She did write, and I want to protect her because she's a very good person and worthy of that protection. But she did write, quote, if the principal is substantially diminished, that revenue source may no longer exist, close quote. And so we could have a debate about whether 9.5% of the total is substantial diminishment.
Okay.
Well, may I follow
yes,
up on that?
Yes, Representative Johnson.
9.5% seems like a substantial diminishment to me. And I would say that isn't this a POMB-type fund that we set up very similar to our earnings and our permanent fund dividend? Is that correct?
Mr. Painter.
Through the chair, Representative Thompson, yes, there's a percent of market value draw from that fund.
And so, Mr. Chair, would that amount, how would that correspond to, say, our dividend fund? What do we consider an appropriate draw from our permanent fund each year?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, both have 5% statutory POMV draws.
So, Mr. Mm-hmm. Chair, we have a 5.5% draw, but this is actually almost double what sounds substantial to me, because it's double what we have considered to be a safe amount to withdraw from our savings investment fund for public schools trust to make up our formula amounts. So what I would like to hear, I don't want to I'm certainly not wanting to put anyone on the spot, but what I had heard from Ms. Marks is she was not comfortable speaking to this, and that she would like to see a trust attorney weigh in on whether this is an appropriate amount, if it's a proper draw amount, and so I was wondering if we could possibly get that opinion.
I doubt that we could tonight. Co-Chair Schrage.
Thank you, Chair Josephson. Director Painter, is it correct that this draw would be predicated on us actually funding a $1,000 BSA in the final budget? What would be the impact if the governor were to, say, veto either the bill that's currently being considered in the Senate or were to veto the appropriation? Would that reduce the draw on this fund?
Through the chair, Representative Schrage. So if he signed the bill, then this provision would have no effect because the bill currently has $1,000 PMB. If he vetoed the bill, then this provision of the statute would come into effect.
If I might object, Mr. Chair, I mean, maybe I'm in committee, but as I recall, speaking about what ifs and using the third floor and what they might possibly do with a veto, we're talking about a lot of what ifs here. I mean, I don't know why we're wasting time talking about how this might not happen when we have what before us actually will happen.
Chair Josephson, I'll restate the question.
Sure, restate the question.
If the final amount of education funding is below $1,000, does that reduce the draw on this fund? I've heard repeatedly in this committee that they expect a number well south of $1,000 in the final budget. If it's below $1,000, does it reduce the draw on this fund?
Through the chair, Representative Schrage, the way the language is structured, the first draw of the outside the formula money, it says first up to $81 million from the public school trust fund and then the general fund. So if the BSA, if a statutory BSA increase was $680 or less, then the full amount from the public school trust fund would be drawn before general funds.
Thank you.
Representative Ballard.
Thank you, Chair, Co-Chair Josephson. So you don't have legal on the line?
Do I have legal online? I do.
Okay.
Ms. Marks.
Yes, Marie Marks with Legislative Legal.
Welcome.
Happy to answer any questions people may have.
Go ahead, Ms. Allard, Representative Allard.
Thank you. Ms. Marks, so how Representative Josephson kind of read us something that he quoted you on saying, and I just want your opinion on what I would consider an illegal draw, but I'm not an attorney. Can you give us your opinion on that, please?
Ms. Marks.
For the record, Marie Marks with Legislative Legal Services. Through the chair, Representative Allard, given the short time I had to review this issue, what I can tell you is this. I haven't been able to extensively dive into it, but I do know that the Public School Trust Fund was created as a substitute for a federal land trust, and the state is under a trust obligation to maintain the trust for the perpetual benefit of the state school system. I don't know whether the changes in the draft bill would, to what extent they would impact or create unforeseen consequences relating to that trust. And so at this point, all I could do is bring it to you, to your attention, the legislature's attention, as a potential issue. That I would just caution you moving forward that there is, I can't say it's constitutional or it's unconstitutional. I don't have enough information at this point in time, but I would caution you going forward because I know in the past there's been significant litigation over not only land trusts, but this land trust in the Kasai-Levy State case.
May I do just a quick follow-up?
Sure, follow-up.
So it sounds like to me that you're hesitant because you didn't have enough time, but also it appears that you've never even had this come across your desk or have a legal opinion on it. So this has not happened before. Is that an accurate statement?
For the record, Marie Marks with Legislative Legal Services, through the chair to Representative Allard, for confidentiality reasons, I wouldn't be able to say, you know, what we may or may not have addressed. But I don't have, at this point in time, I don't have, I'll tell you, I have not had a chance to address this issue, so I've not been able to, I think, delve into it and provide the information the legislature needs. And trust law is a very specific area of law that I think would benefit from someone with expertise in trust law. It's complicated enough. In the little time I had to dive into it, I could see it is complicated enough that I think you would benefit from a trust law expert, either through the Department of Law or outside. This has a very complex history, the trust does.
Thank you, Ms. Marks.
Is the objection to version Q maintained?
It's absolutely maintained, and may I speak again, please? Thank you. So, Mr. Chair, I've already expressed a number of concerns, particularly that we're overdrawing this fund, particularly that it's certainly unclear to, if it's not clear to our legislative legal staff at this time, it's certainly unclear to me if this is an appropriate use of this fund. And then thirdly, there are a lot of land trusts and land we have set up a lot of land trusts to fund a number of things in the state, and we have a lot of lawsuits. We put a lot of legal monies into legal defense for for all of our land issues. And oddly enough, I'm one of the people that puts that money in for statehood type defense to make sure that we are retaining ownership of the lands that we should have. And so I just don't like mucking about and just pulling money out from here and there in a land trust, public school trust, because essentially there's a word in there called trust. And when you're dealing in the public trust, I believe you should be open, you should be transparent, it should be clear, and it should be legal. And I am maintaining my objection because of the way that this was brought forward, the way that the fund sources have been switched, in my opinion, to the obstrusive guy, the final product. And I'm frankly disappointed, okay. Mr. Chair.
Co-Chair Schrage.
Thank you, Chair Josephson. I understand there's some concerns with this proposal, and I just say that this is an attempt to try and find something more workable and palatable to a broader group than what was previously moved out of this committee. But I do have a question for Director Painter. Given some of the concerns that there are, is this the final stop for this bill, or does it go to another body, and is there a further process by which these decisions could be evaluated and perhaps adjusted if there are valid concerns brought forward?
Through the Chair, Representative Schrage, the next stop would be the House floor and then on to the other body, since this is a House bill, so it needs to go to the other body.
Thank you.
Representative Stapp.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Josephson. Well, it's already late. I don't really want to be here all night. There's an old saying, if you got the votes, vote, and if you don't have the votes, talk. So I'll be relatively quick. This budget's unfunded. It raids the Public School Trust Fund, which was established by Congress in 1915. I don't think anyone's been around here that long. By the way, the Commissioner of Revenue is the fiduciary of this trust. I doubt anyone consulted him before they wanted to raid the trust. You are correct that there's other places of the budget. I would just say it's the Finance Committee. If you want to balance the budget, it's relatively simple. Roll back your ads, reduce the PFD, reduce the BSA amount to a level that you can reliably afford, and look to actually operate in your revenue. Mr. Chair, if you guys want to be clowns, just pass this out unfunded. It's on you. Thank you.
Representative Stapp, the impugn line just got devastated. I also would note that you had an opportunity to reduce the dividend, and you chose not to. Representative Bynum, briefly, and then we're going to quickly go to a vote.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson, through the chair. I appreciate the effort that's been put in to trying to come up with a compromise position that would try to bring the balance more into alignment with a balanced budget. I do understand that there's tremendous concerns about potential legalities of the using the trust fund revenue line to make up the difference in the BSA portion of this bill. There's a part of me that wants to be able to move a budget that is more in alignment with being balanced. I do know that it feels like that this process has been, for today anyway, has been pretty rapid. And I know a lot of conversations have happened in the building with regard to how do we get to a point where we have a balanced budget and be able to get to the floor to debate a bill with all of the items in it. And so part of me really wants to vote yes on this because I know it puts us very close to a balanced budget. But there's also another element of me, which I understand, that making a no vote is probably what I have to do. So for that, I apologize.
The objection is maintained. Will the clerk call the roll
Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
I actually had my arm up.
I would like to speak.
Sure. Representative Tomaszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, through the chair. So this CS is rolled out 30 minutes ago. Is there an amendment deadline for the CS?
No, there's no amendment deadline.
So we won't be offered a chance for amendments on this new CS who was just rolled out 30 minutes ago that we literally just got 30 minutes ago. We are not going to have amendments deadlines afforded to us in this committee. Is that what you're saying, Mr. Chair?
We took up 96 amendments.
Not on this. We haven't taken up any amendments on this, which just landed on my desk 30 minutes ago.
Will the clerk call the roll, please?
Chair, I had my arm up.
Mr. Chair,
this isn't okay.
And Addie Hughes.
Okay. Eddie. We have a member that must attend an event this evening. So I would like to...
What are we doing with public testimonies?
When you're talking about this kind of money and this kind of situation, I think there probably isn't too many events that couldn't wait. And could we follow the public process and do our best work here, please, Mr. Speaker? Brief at ease.
Back on the record, Co-Chair Shragi.
I withdraw my motion to adopt the committee substitute Q.
Co-Chair Shragi.
I move committee substitute for HB 53 Finance version 34-GH1462-I dated 3/11/25 as amended be reported out of the committee with individual recommendations and that authorization be given to the Legislative Finance Division and the Legislative Legal Services to make any necessary technical and or conforming changes.
Object.
There's an object. Will the clerk call the roll? This brings back the vote we had prior to this meeting, the bill version we had prior to this meeting.
I'd like to say something, please.
Will the clerk call the roll, please?
Wow.
Representative Jimmy?
Pass.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Galvin?
Yes.
Representative Stapp?
No.
Representative Allard?
No.
Representative Tomaszewski?
No.
Representative Bynum?
No.
Representative Jimmy?
Yes.
Representative Hannon?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
Representative Shragi?
Yes.
Representative Josephson?
Yes.
6 yea, 5 nay.
By a vote of 6-5, we have again adopted version I as amended. With that, this meeting will be adjourned. This bill will be forwarded.
I'm objecting to that.
You're no better than the Anchorage Assembly.
The meeting will be adjourned at 7:03.